So we will be having the Wagners with us next Sunday. Joel's going to be speaking in our morning service, and then in our evening service we'll see his presentation and really kind of have a Q&A time. I've asked him to leave some opportunities for that so that you can ask him questions about his Bible translation work. And Joel's always very informative about that, so you'll want to make that a part of your Sunday, next Sunday, and be able to hear from them. And we're just grateful for opportunities to have extended time with them during the week. They'll be staying in the ministry house. They're stuffing all five of their kids in there. We're still figuring out how that's going to work, but they said they've been in much tighter places. So we're glad for that opportunity for them to be with us. Well, tonight, I'd like to just briefly speak to you. And what I'd like to do is kind of follow up on the topic of this morning's message. We looked in the Gospel of Mark at the occasion of Jesus eating with publicans and sinners. And really, it was the heart of Christ in compassion for those that were trapped in sin. Jesus, a friend of sinners. And what I'd like to do this evening is kind of follow that same theme from the Old Testament. Is this just a New Testament thing that Jesus loves sinners, that God is compassionate toward wicked people? Is that a New Testament truth that's not found in the Old Testament? And so I think we find it very clearly here in one particular book of the Bible in the Old Testament, and maybe not a book of which you're thinking even now. Let me put a question to you on the screen. Do you do well to be angry? Do you know who asked that question in the Bible? God asked that question. Do you know of whom he asked that question? Jonah. Now, when you hear Jonah, what do you think of? Young people, what do you think of when you hear Jonah? The great fish, the whale. The fish gets all the publicity, right? But this question is actually at the heart of the message of that book. It really gets to the kernel of what God is communicating through that little book of four chapters in your Bible. So I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. We're going to look at the fourth chapter. God was asking Jonah this question, really to pull something out of Jonah. He's going after the heart of his prophet. You're familiar with the story. God tells Jonah to go to a city of Nineveh. It's a very wicked city. In fact, that's not just what's stated here in the scripture. Historically, the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians, were very violent people. They really held back nothing in their conquering of certain people, really to make an example of their viciousness in order to deter people from rising up against them. That's probably why Jonah really has an issue with these people. They're notoriously wicked. And so God tells Jonah to go to that city of Nineveh and preach to it. And you know the story. Jonah decides he's not going to do that. That's not a good idea. And he gets on a ship and he goes the exact opposite direction. And he encounters this great storm that the Lord raises on the ocean or on the sea there. And Jonah figures out he's the problem. And he tells the shipman, he says, throw me into the city. And at that point, he's thinking he's a dead man. And God graciously delivers Jonah by sending a great fish to preserve his life. And so it's after that that Jonah finally obeys God. He goes back to Nineveh. He goes there, preaches a message, maybe one of the shortest messages in all the Bible, salvation is of the Lord, right? And he's just preaching this through Nineveh. And an amazing thing happens. Look at the end of chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. The people respond to this message. And it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Is that a good thing? You would say, that's great. God is merciful. These people repented. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry about that. Now imagine this. You have this meeting of Old Testament prophets. It's an Old Testament prophet conference. And the Old Testament prophets get together and they start talking, and Daniel's there, and they say, Daniel, how's it going? And Daniel says, well, pretty good. I've had some opportunities, but I've also had some difficulties. You know, I slept with lions the other night, and that didn't go so great, but the Lord spared me, and I've had a few opportunities that way. And someone says, well, Ezekiel, tell me about your ministry. How's that going? And Ezekiel says, well, I had a rough time laying on my side preaching for a year, but I think some people heard me, maybe not. It wasn't a lot of fruit. Jeremiah, how about you? And Jeremiah says, well, it's been rough. They lured me into this pit. I've been preaching for years and not one single convert. Well, Jonah, what about you? Well, I went to Nineveh, I preached, the whole city got saved, and I can't stand it. I'm angry about it. Makes no sense. What's going on in the heart of this prophet, and what is it that God tries to bring out of him, especially in this last chapter? What I want us to note is that the problem with Jonah was not a problem in his head. He had accurate knowledge. He agreed with God on many points about his ministry and even about God's attitude toward these people in Nineveh. Jonah knows that God is holy and that God hates sin. He's very clear on that. In fact, look at Jonah 1. Look at verse 2. We're told this about these Ninevites. God tells Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah knew that. You're right, God. Those are evil people. And they're doing this right to your face. And notice God's response to this. Jonah chapter 3. Look at verse 9. These are the people's response to Jonah's preaching. And they say, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his what? His anger, so that we may not perish. What was God angry at? The evil of these people. And so Jonah has that right. God, you should be angry. You're right to be angry. These people are evil, wicked sinners, and the sooner you remove them from the face of the earth, the better. Jonah knows that God is holy. He agrees with God that Nineveh was wicked. He also knows this about God, though. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. What does Jonah know about God? He knows God is merciful. And he doesn't give us what we deserve all the time. He's gracious that way. In fact, what's very interesting is Jonah's actually quoting from Exodus 34, where God reveals himself to Moses in this same way, and he says, I am God, gracious, slow to anger, full of compassion. Jonah knows this in his head. In fact, Jonah knows that God is gracious by nature and he's merciful and that he often saves rebellious people. And Jonah has actually experienced that himself in this book, right? In chapter 1, in verse 17, we're told that God had appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now answer me. What if that fish had not swallowed Jonah? What would have happened to him? What would have happened to him? He would have died. We tend to think, oh, poor Jonah, that poor guy, he got swallowed by the fish. Jonah should be thinking, thank God I got swallowed by a fish. I would have died. And he recounts that in his prayer in chapter 3, where he pulls on a number of allusions and quotations from the Psalms, and he's praising God for his grace and deliverance and all of that that he was experiencing. Here's a guy that knows God is gracious. He himself has experienced gracious deliverance from God, even in the belly of that great fish. And again, he's going to experience God's graciousness toward him. Chapter 4 and verse 6, God causes a plant to grow up next to Jonah, a large leafed plant that gives him shade from the intense Middle East heat. And it says that God appointed that plant too for Jonah and was gracious to him. Jonah knows these things about God. He's holy and just, but he's also gracious and merciful. He has all these things in his head. That's not Jonah's problem. Jonah's problem is he doesn't understand God's heart. He doesn't understand how God even feels about these things. And so what God does in chapter 4 is he tries to pull this out of the prophet. He tries to show himself, show Jonah himself what's in his heart and what the problem is. And here's how he does this. Look at chapter 4. Look again at verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? What is Jonah lacking? Do you know what Jonah's lacking here for the people of Nineveh? He lacks pity. He lacks compassion. It's entirely absent from him. He thinks these people are beyond it. They don't deserve it. And he himself has come to that conclusion. And Jonah, in a sense, because he knows things that are true about God, and he knows God is holy and just, he knows he's also gracious, but in his mind he's determined that this is not a time for God to be gracious. He suspects that would be the case. That's why he's angry. But he thinks God's made a mistake. He should have been just. He should have been righteous in this case. And Jonah tries to put God in a box. Here's what you should have done. And when God didn't fit in his box, he pouts. And he becomes angry. And so what does God do? God is actually going to extract pity from this prophet. He's going to show him pity, and Jonah is going to have pity, but towards something else besides Nineveh. Look at what God does. Look at verse 5. Jonah went out of the city. He sat to the east of the city. He made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. That was gracious of God. Verse 6. So Jonah was exceeding glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" Jonah said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." Now just notice this. And the Lord said, "You what? The plant. You pity the plant." So God takes Jonah through this little scenario where he's gracious to him. He gives his plant to him. The plant is suddenly burned up by the heat. A worm eats the plant. Jonah gets angry about that. You can see this guy. He's like bouncing back and forth. But what God had shown Jonah can have pity. What was his pity directed toward? This plant. this thing that God had brought up in a day and had been burned up in a day. And what God is doing is actually extracting pity out of the heart of Jonah and saying, Jonah, there is in a sense pity within you, and you pity something as small as a plant. Jonah, what's your relationship to that plant? Is that plant worthy of your pity? Well, keep reading. Look at what God says to him. Verse 10. The Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. Okay, you didn't plant, put it there. Nor did you make it grow. That wasn't of you. Which came into being in a night and perished in a night. It's very temporal. And then God's going to say, and should I not pity Nineveh? Here's what God's saying. Jonah, you had no responsibility for this plant. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't make it. You didn't cause it to grow. It's very temporal. And yet somehow now you're upset with God because God killed your plant. He shouldn't have done that to a plant. And God uses that, extracts that pity out of Jonah's heart and has him see that. And he says, Jonah, think about what you're doing. What about those people in Nineveh? Don't they deserve my pity? And therefore, don't they deserve your pity? This is how he closes it in the end. He says, verse 11, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know the right hand from their left? And he ends, and also much cattle? What does it mean, these 120,000 persons? Some commentators think it means young people. A two-year-old, you tell them, raise your right hand, and what do? Right? Is he talking about just the age of these people? It might be. Or he's probably talking about their moral understanding. They didn't have as much revelation of God as Jonah had. They're not held responsible for the amount of revelation they have. They're held responsible for, but they didn't have everything that Jonah had. And he says, these people, they don't have everything you have, Jonah, as far as moral awareness. And shouldn't I have pity on them? And then God says, and there's cows down there too. And guess what? I made them and I care about them too. And in all of this, what the book of Jonah is teaching us is this: God does care for the wicked. It doesn't mean he's not righteous. It doesn't even mean he doesn't have a just wrath. But God is saying, I'm not willing that people would perish, but that they would all repent. Jonah, you have everything up here in your head, but you've missed my heart in all of this. And I just wonder how often we fall into that same kind of boat, right? We can have a lot in our head about God. We understand a lot of theology. We know a lot of things about God, and we think God should act this way or that way, or God's definitely should be judgmental on that person, but God should give grace there, and we're the arbiters of that. And sometimes our head gets so stuffed full of things about God that we miss the real important thing, that God's not willing that any should perish. God's gracious and compassionate. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And we ought to have the same kind of compassion and graciousness toward others. Now, like Jonah, sometimes we get angry. I was talking to someone this morning, and after the service, and they were saying, commenting on the sermon, and they said, I really needed that because there's a family member in my family, and they are in a relationship with someone they should not be in a relationship with. And it's one that would not honor God. And they said, I've always looked at this other person that is engaging this relationship with my family member, and I'm angry at them. Why are you in our life? Why are you doing this? Why is this? Why are you here? And they said, what I have missed is the point that I'm not to overlook their sin, but my attitude must change toward them. I must be showing pity and compassion. I need a different heart toward them. And this is the message of Jonah. And this is the message that we all must take. All right, so think of those people in your life that need the love of Christ and the compassion of the Savior, and the compassion of God, and ask God for grace to love them as you should. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your graciousness and kindness. You are a friend of sinners. We praise you for that. Thank you, that's not something new. It's something that you, Father, displayed to your prophet Jonah. That he, in his own heart, needed pity. He had it for certain things that pertained to himself, but he really needed to weigh the eternal weight of that city and those people in that city. So, Lord, help us to be people with hearts of compassion toward others, to not gloss over sin, but also, Lord, to know that we too are sinners, and only by your grace we've been freed and delivered. So help us always to be a church, a place where we welcome sinners and we welcome them to come and learn of a Savior who will deliver them if they will turn from their sin. And give us that heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.